Adult Authors. I'm Joanne Morrell, children's and young adult fiction writer and author of Short Nonfiction for Authors. Thanks for joining me for the Hybrid Author Podcast, sharing interviews from industry professionals to help you forge a career as a hybrid author, both independently and traditionally publishing your books. You can get the show notes for each episode and sign up for your free author pass over at the Hybrid Author website to discover your writing process, get tips on how to publish productively, and get comfortable promoting your books at www.hybridauthor.com.au. Let's crack on with the episode. Hello, authors! I hope you're all keeping well in whatever part of the world you reside and listen to the podcast in. Today's interview is with award-winning children's and young adult author Pip Harry. And I chat to Pip about hybrid writing styles. And Pip shares her tips for authors looking to dabble in different writing styles as well as hybrid publishing and much more. So in my author adventure this week, I received the first print copy of Author Fears and How to Overcome Them. If you listen to my 5 tips for print production through Ingram Spark episode, that experience was largely based around my freelance writing quick tips for fast success book. I have lots of copies of that, obviously lessons learned through that, but book that I've just received for Author Fears, the print version is perfect. So I think that you have to go through all that to learn what you're doing first up. And then, you know, as I continue to print other works, the process will hopefully just get easier. So it was really nice and exciting to hold that for the first time. It is much bigger than freelance, because the freelance one is a quick tips book that you can read in literally 1 hour, one sitting. That's why it's called Quick Tips. But Author Fears is a lot bigger. It's about, I think it's a bit even shorter from what you would find in the nonfiction market. I think it's only about between 15 and 17,000 words. But it's still quite a thick book. But yeah, I like it. Again, it's sort of laid out for people just to read briefly the sections where that appeals to them the most. But yeah, it was nice for them. If you follow me on social media, I put a post up where of the books together. And because they are a series, it's nice to see them standing together and they look good. Yeah, that was something that was very exciting. The other thing that has been very stressful and exciting in my life is that we are actually moving house. So I have been under the pump trying to get our home ready and decluttered and polished and all the other stuff. 4 photographs to be taken, which happened the other night. And it was such a relief to have that done because, you know, we've dealt with lots of things in the process, a bunch of cowboy trade people, and just it's all come together in the end, but it's been quite stressful in the build up to that, getting the house ready. So, you know, a lot of my creative writing time and things that I wanted to do, I had to put on the back burner. I think in last week's episode, I talked about cancelling the freelance writing workshop I was going to do in March. And at the time I thought, you know, no, I'm doing the right thing. But now that that's not there in my head, I feel a lot more relaxed. And I think that would have just been one thing hanging over my head that I needed to get done. And with it fast approaching, coming up to March, next couple of weeks, with everything else, it was the right thing to do at the time for sure, just to say no to that. So if you're keen to hear how the ups and downs of my top secret project are going, you can follow that fortnightly by signing up for your free author pass over at hybridauthor.com.au, and you get a fortnightly newsletter from me with all the news that's happening for the hybrid author and these books, this project. And there has been some highs and lows. So if you love the podcast or any of the episodes has helped you further in your author career, you can now pay it forward by buying me a coffee over at www.buymeacoffee.com/thehybridauthor. Let's all support each other. Pip Harry is an Australian children's author and journalist. Her middle grade novel, The Little Wave, won the CBCA 2020 Book of the Year Award and the Speech Pathology Australia Book of the Year. Her young adult novels include I'll Tell You Mine, Head of the River, Because of You, and Are You There, Buddha, a CBCA notable and shortlisted for the 2022 New South Wales Premier Literary Awards. In 2022, Pip released middle grade novel August and Jones, a book about the power of friendship inspired by a true story.
Pip has two contracted picture books on the way and is co-writing a junior fiction project. Wow. Welcome to the Hybrid Author Podcast, Pip.
Thank you, Joanne. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you. So can you tell us, you know, how did you get into writing and effectively write in the children's fiction genre?
Gosh, it's amazing when you read out my bio like that, I realize how far I've come and that I actually really am a children's author and not just a wannabe anymore. So it all started for me back when I was about 20. I had decided to go to Europe and have one of those big Europe trips on the Eurail, and I was scribbling into a notebook, and the story that I started to write there was middle grade. And I don't think I even knew what middle grade was, but the protagonist was 11 or 12 years old. And that novel actually got me an agent at the time. And so I thought I'd made it at 20. You know, I've got this whole publishing thing worked out. In fact, it took me a further, that book didn't sell, obviously. And it took me about 12 years to get my first publishing deal. Continued to write for children because that's what connected. That's what people liked to read from me.
But the thing is, even, you know, to write your first middle grade and then have an agent be interested is still amazing as well.
Yeah, I know. I popped the champagne and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And back in those days, honestly, it was so long ago that I was writing handwriting letters to agents and they were handwriting rejections back or whatever. So yeah, it was an amazing time. So it did take me a while to get there in the end, but always when I was writing from the point of view of children and teenagers, it just, for me, it felt natural, that voice, and for other people reading it, it just seemed to connect with them as well. So the first publishing deal I picked up was for a young adult novel called I'll Tell You Mine.
Yeah, that's amazing. Did the hand letter rejections, are they less of a blow than the typed ones these days?
You know what? No, I think they're more of a blow, really, because you can kind of like, email comes in, delete. That typed letter is much more substantial. Oh,
at least you could burn the you know, the penciled one, I suppose. Goodness
me. I still have a couple of rejections, I think, floating around in my dusty boxes just to remind me that's where I came from and how hard it is. It's so hard.
Yeah. But obviously, you know, you kept going, and so far from your bio, you've had an incredible journey as well to get to where you are. Obviously, a fantastic writer too. Well, today's topic is on hybrid writing styles. You know, you classify a contemporary verse novel, Are You There, Buddha, a hybrid novel. That's a mixture of verse stanza mixed with narrative dialogue. So, you know, tell us about the book and how did you come to write in this kind of hybrid style? Did it just come out naturally, or is it something you were playing with?
I guess I started writing verse, like a novel in verse, for The Little Wave. So I wrote it, I sent it off to my publisher, I said, is this verse? And she said, some of it is and some of it isn't. So I guess I was already starting to have a bit of a hybrid style then. And as I continued on to another verse novel with Are You There, Buddha, what came out wasn't so, it didn't lean towards poetry as much as The Little Wave or as much as a maybe traditional verse novel would, and had like this kind of in-between style where it was sort of somewhere between verse and prose, and definitely had dialogue that you would see in a prose book. And so a few reviewers have actually commented on that. Some people like it. Some people are like, we wish it was more versey.
Someone's always got something to say, haven't they?
Definitely can't please everyone in this game. And also never read Goodreads, never. But yeah, it's been really fun to write a hybrid style. And you know what? I actually did some research before this interview, and verse itself, or novels in verse, are actually considered hybrid anyway. Oh, right. And that's kind of their classification. So I was interested by that there are already classified as a hybrid of poetry and prose. But I think, you know, you can lean one or other side of the fence.
Why do you think that is then? Because it's in the book format that they think that? I think so,
because it's a novel and it follows like a story, a narrative, you know, it has a beginning, middle and end, and it's not like, you know, just standalone poems, I suppose. But though some verse novels are really just standalone poems that take you through story. Mm. So there's so many different novels out there that take on verse in different ways, in a hybrid way. So I think it's really an interesting style, and style that's really getting more popular every year.
That's crazy. And because what came to mind with how was it perceived by the publisher or your agent? They seemed to like it, because I don't know, I always thought trying to either do something different or experiment would be seen negatively, like, no, that's what we, or not be able to find an audience, or they wouldn't be able to sell something like that, or frowned upon, maybe, like, you're breaking the rules, or
yeah, it is a rule breaker. I think, you know, you do worry about that a bit as an author, because, you know, where is it going to be shelved in bookstores, and, you know, how are people going to find it if it's not kind of one or the other? Mm. But for me, the response to this book, Ayy the Buddha, was immediately positive. I think people found it really accessible, easy to read, and it suited, you know, I'll just tell you a bit about the story. It's about a girl who's 12, turning 13. She's just started high school, and she's really just trying to work out her life. Her mum's gone off to an ashram in India. She's been left with a stepmom that she can't really relate to and connect with. And in the midst of all this is puberty, which is just messing everything up for her. As it totally does. And so it's, you know, coming from that point of view, it was really like immediate and, you know, accessible, and the style kind of just worked for the story. So nobody had a problem with it, really, except that one of the publishers said, we're going to have to shorten some of these sentences because, you know, they're too long, or some of the dialogue has to come back, which was fine. I understand that completely. So there was a bit of playing around with getting the words, you know, on the page to look like verse, but it all worked out in the end. Yep.
Yeah. Are you like what they call, I don't like all the terms that are sort of out there, but do you plan a lot of your books, or do you just go with the flow and see what comes out, and that's effectively what came out?
You know, yeah, the plotter, panter.
Yeah, that's it. Or discovery writer, and yeah, there's loads of names.
No, I did not plan a lot of my books out. They tend to come to me almost in a voice.
Spiritual.
Yeah, it is almost spiritual sometimes. And then I just can't get rid of the voice in my head, and I have to like start sitting down and telling the story that they're telling me. So yeah, for me, it's quite organic. And I like having those surprises along the way where I like discover things along with my characters. So that for me is good. You know, I have planned a little bit if I'm forced to, but it's not my natural state.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And then have you, so obviously putting out Are You There, Buddha, mm-hmm. then did they want you to continue writing in that style, like the hybrid sort of mixture, or that's classified standalone?
Well, nobody asked me to write in verse to begin with. I just did it. My first three books were all young adult, and they were all just regular narrative prose. And then I just branched out with The Little Wave, and then followed up with Buddha. But in fact, my next book, which came out last year, August and Jones, is back to narrative prose. So I like to jump around a little bit. I've got picture books on the way and things. So, I don't like to sort of stay still for very long.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I think, you know, obviously the position you're in, and you can do what you like, I suppose. They're like, yeah, we love it. We love it all.
No, that's not how it goes.
No.
Sometimes they're like, no, we don't like it. Please take it.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. So how is, like, obviously, as I mentioned before, we connected through Twitter. I saw your post saying, you know, Are You There, Buddha, is kind of shot up to a bestseller list on the back of, was it Judy Blume's Are You There, Margaret? Is there similarities there? Or
yes, there is. I mean, Judy is my queen, obviously. Yes. As a writer for young people, but you know, she wrote this seminal novel in, I think it was 1971-72, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, which is like the book about, you know, puberty and getting your period, and that time in a girl's life where, you know, you're on the cusp between childhood and then those teenage years. And so I've always loved that book, but always thought, well, that wasn't my experience at all, because Margaret in the book really wants to grow up and really wants to get her first period and get a bra and all this sort of stuff. For me, it was the complete opposite, and I wanted to press pause and have none of that stuff happen. I was really terrified to move into that stage, and quite happy as sort of as a kid. So I wanted to write a character, and I did, with Are You There, Buddha, and she's called B, and B is exactly that. She does not want the period to arrive. And so she prays to a Buddha statue and says, please, no period for me. Thanks, all the same. And of course, nature, you know, calls, and she actually does get it. And then it's about she doesn't want to get it for the swimming championships that are coming up, which are very badly timed. So, yeah, that definitely is the connection between those two books. And I'm very glad that connection's been made, because it does shoot my book up. Anytime anything happens around that book, Margaret, Buddha tends to get a bit of a lift as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. That is really cool. And they're making a movie, I heard, Marga. I remember reading the book when I was younger, but I can remember bits and pieces. It was that long ago. But I saw the movie, and yeah, an interview as well of why she was making the movie now, I suppose, because I think they hit her up a lot in the past. But I would be interested to go and see it for sure.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Yeah, it actually looks like they've done it justice, and it looks really funny. I've read the book again, and I read it with my daughter who's 12, and it was so interesting to read it now as an adult and look at the language and some of the things that the girls talk about. And yeah, it has aged well in some ways and aged quite badly in others. So it's
I think I'd probably be more inclined to pass your book on to my eldest, who's 11, just turned 11, and she says all the time, you know, and my youngest too, I wish I was a baby again, you know. But we've briefly had the period conversation this year, which was like, and they had it at school as well, so she knows something's coming, but she gets very embarrassed about talking about it, and I don't think she's waiting to get it. I don't think anyone has yet in her class. Probably will kill me talking about it. Maybe I edit that part. It sounds like she would be more inclined to be your kind of character from the book, you know, Bee who doesn't want to grow up. And
it's fantastic. And there's a lot of bees out there, you know. I've been hearing from a lot of you know, young girls who really related to that.
Yeah. Oh no, that's amazing. So have you actually ever read many hybrid books yourself, like the styles written in different things? I can't say I have come across many, which doesn't mean they're not out there, obviously.
Sometimes you don't even realize you're reading a hybrid, I think, which is interesting. So the first book I read that was verse mixed with prose was Between Us by Claire Atkins, and I think her publisher is Black Ink. She won the CBCA award for young adults in 2019, I think.
Actually, I'm a liar because I've read that one.
Ah, there you go.
But I don't know if I picked that up as a hybrid. Yeah. I can't recall it now. Yeah, and it's told from the three perspectives, is that right?
Yeah, I think three perspectives. It's about asylum seekers. And yeah. It's really beautiful. But she mixed verse sections with prose sections,
right,
and just switched between them. And that's the first time I kind of thought, oh, wow, you can do that.
Yeah.
Really cool. So maybe that set a light off for me, for Buddha, because I was starting to write Buddha around 2019. And then I've since read some verse, like almost like graphic novel with verse, or verse heavily illustrated. And that's in the middle grade area. So Way of Dog by Zana Freilin and What Snail Knows by Kat Appel are both, you know, illustrated and use graphics in a really interesting way in the book. So
that's cool. Yeah. That is cool. And I've always thought, not that you shouldn't play around with things like this, but I guess playing around to see what works is probably a good thing with language and style and stuff like that. Do you yourself, after Buddha or before, obviously you've got the verse stanza with the narrative dialogue. Mm-hmm. Is there any other styles you've tried to play around with and thought, oh, maybe this could work or that? Or no, not really. No.
I mean, I think, yes, I started to play around a bit with genre. You know, I've written a lot in realistic contemporary, and I love doing that. But yeah, I'm starting to think about other areas like horror and comedy. Ooh. And how can, you know, these things work together. And yeah, so I'm starting to play around a bit with genre.
That's amazing, because I guess if it works, it works. But I suppose, you know, if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly, right? And I've got a little project that's off with my agent at the moment, so I guess I'm about to find out if I've mashed up a couple of styles and whether that worked.
Oh, like a horror comedy or something completely different?
Yeah, that may have elements of that. There might be some other things thrown in the mix too. Yeah. Co-writing as well, which is the first time I've done that. I can't say too much about that because it's still under wraps, but that was so fun to write both in a different genre completely and also to write with someone else.
Was that something that you guys have come together to do, or was that a pairing through your publisher or something?
Yeah, I've heard that publishers do pair authors together, but no, we have different publishers and different agents. So we've just come together, having met at a children's literature event, and she actually asked me, do you want to co-write a project together? And I said, yep, because I was you know, when you're at that
why stage, not
just really open to new ideas and new ways of doing things. Also, the books that I've written have been quite emotionally taxing, and so I just thought, I want to write something fun and with someone else. Perfect. Yeah. So it took us only a couple of months really to get a draft together, which was exciting.
Perfect.
It was very fast.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I know a few authors that have co-written, and I think if you get a good relationship there is good. Where I went back and forth with another writer and we thought, oh yeah, we could do something fun, but it was real, we found our styles, or we're just very different. It didn't work out. I think in the end we were just like, oh, the way that we had tried it, I think it would be good to do something like that. It sounds fun.
Yeah, I think it is a bit of a leap of faith, you know. Will our styles match, you know? Will our styles of writing match, you know? And things like how you do things as well, you know. Yeah, whether you do things in Google Doc or Word or
somebody
like to talk over Zoom or not. Yeah, so we've worked all that out, and it's been good. It's sort of been a good mesh.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Back to just the hybrid writing styles. Do you have any tips for anybody who might want to play around or with writing hybrid? Obviously, you mentioned some good titles that people can read to get an idea.
I think just in general, don't feel sort of hemmed in by a certain style of writing or a certain genre. You feel free to play. And I think pretty much the first words that I wrote for The Little Wave, which has been my biggest selling book and, you know, has won awards, the first sentence or two, I was thinking, I'm going to play. I'm going to be playful. And I was putting words everywhere, and I was kind of like upcapping things and doing lots of exclamation points and doing sort of shape poems that looked like waves and things, and just having an absolute blast with it. Because I think I had prior to that felt like, right, I have to write young adults. I have to write, you know, quite serious novels that have like issues-based things. And yeah, this was totally different. So I think, yeah, just feel happy to play and comfortable playing, and don't worry about what's on the other side of it in terms of what other people think.
Yeah, I think that's a really good tip, because aspiring authors, you know, you're just trying to, they feel they probably have to play by the rules, or sometimes it can be hard to let go. And like you said, if you started out writing one thing, you feel you have to go down that direction, or yeah. So no, that's a good tip there.
It can be really easy to be pigeonholed as this kind of writer or that kind of writer. Right, you will have to force your way out of it sometimes, but it's really worth it. So yeah, that would be my advice.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. So you still have an agent for your work?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple over the years, and I do have an agent now. They're called Zeitgeist, and my agent's called Benithan Oldfield. He's excellent, absolutely awesome at doing all the deals.
Are they Australian based or overseas?
They're a bit of both. So they're hybrid.
Ooh, we love it.
So they have an office in Sydney and one in Brussels with some co-agents who work. I have a co-agent over in Brussels who works on children's. So she will go to like the children's book fairs in London and wherever else they are and sort of talk me up. And that's great. It's great to have that sort of representation both here at home and overseas to try and push international sales. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And how did they find you? Do you submit to them, or was it through the publisher? Or
I was looking around. So I left my agency and then I moved overseas as well. And I sort of I think I need a new agent. So I had about a year where I was unagented and I was pretty unhappy. I just felt like I was out to sea, and I don't really love all the businessy side of things sometimes, you know. So, yeah, so I asked around, you know, who friends thought was a good agent, and then I put a list together and, yeah, managed to pick one up. But it is very hard as well to get an agent, even if you have got an established career, you know, and you have been published before. Still
yeah, hard. I've heard that as well. So I suppose, do you submit your work to your agent and then they find the best fit for you for publisher-wise?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, so it's a sort of a collaboration. I'll send something to my agent, say, here's this thing I've been working on, what do you think? And then he'll come back and say, you know, either, yes, let's bring it to your publisher, current publisher, or let's go wide with this story, or, you know, he will find it the best home, which is great, that's his job.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but it's good to hear that they're working for you. That's their job. Yeah.
And even just to say, not sure about this one, or maybe this is not ready or whatever, that also can happen.
Do you think you've got more room to play as an author having an agent rather than just going through one publisher type of thing? So like you said, you write in young adult to start and then felt you had to go down the emotional serious aspect and then wanted to play. Mm-hmm. Had you been unagented mm-hmm. at the time of that and you sent that to a publisher, say for the young adult, do you think it would have been a different response?
Well, actually I was unagented when I wrote Little Wave. Yeah. So interestingly, maybe I did feel a bit freer. Sure. And in fact, Zeitgeist picked me up on the basis of The Little Wave. They really didn't know much about me and my work. They read The Little Wave, picked up the phone, said, yeah, we want to sign you, which was really pretty amazing that they were sort of aware of the power of this story and where it was going to go. Because at the time, yeah, I wasn't really, I thought it was kind of a fun story, something new. But certainly my eventual publisher, I don't think realized how far and wide that book would go either.
Yeah.
So interesting. Yeah. I think they've got a good eye for what's going to hit, you know, what's going to cross over a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Good to hear. All the information I always hear, obviously not from agents or anything, is like the publishing industry is so hard to gauge, like what's next. And like,
yeah, that's so true. I think they don't know half the time. They know what's good and what they want, but I don't know if they know what's going to be the next.
Yeah, no.
They can possibly know that.
No, that's it. I guess it's the same as anything. You don't know what's going to just, people are going to love or hate or
yeah,
all
exactly.
The rest. Yeah.
It's such a gamble. The whole thing is just one big lottery.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you said you don't like the feeling of kind of being free or on your own, kind of floating out to sea, being the Hybrid Author Podcast. So would you consider self-publishing, or is that just too much? If you hate the business side of it, that's really not ever something you'll consider, because that is, you know, you outsource people and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different routes and things, but it's mainly yourself that's like doing it all.
Yeah, I mean, part of me is really intrigued by the idea of mixing up, you know, traditional and independent publishing for sure, because I think, well, I come from a background of working in magazines as an editor, where I decide what goes on the pages and I work with an artist or a team of artists and a team of sub-editors and photographers. So I've been in that position where I call the shots and make the magazine happen and choose the cover and the cover lines and everything. And I actually love that. And I've had a lot of fun doing that in my career. I used to work for Woman's Day, New Idea.
Oh, fantastic. TV
Week.
Yeah.
Big magazines, high pressure, loved it. So that side of me thinks, wow, wouldn't it be great to hire an illustrator, to, you know, hire an editor to do this myself, you know? And I guess I'm intrigued, although it does seem like a lot of work.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is a lot of work. But I mean, like, you know, you can still work with freelance teams and hire people to help you along the way. It's not just solely you, but I guess the draw for a lot of people doing the self-publishing is the control that they have, like you said, to be in charge, to say, I want it to be like this, I want it to be like that. And I think that's the draw for a lot of people. So did you, you know, well, you obviously have that persona as well. Did you feel, once you wrote your book and it went off to agents and publishers, are you a bit more relaxed then in that regard? Or does it come back and you're like, oh, I would have did it that way? Like, are you allowed to say?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at accepting edits because, you know, I started working in magazines when I was 23 and immediately my work came back to me with like masses of red marks and no, change this, do this. So no, I'm fine to be edited and pretty good about that. Something I sometimes find sticks a little bit for me is design and the cover and make what's in my head versus what comes back to me can sometimes not quite match. I've had like amazing covers. The Little Wave was Sophie Beer designed, who's this incredible Queensland-based author illustrator. And all of her, she came back with 6 roughs and they were all amazing. You know, it was one of those situations where how do you choose, because it's all so good, you know. Other times I haven't been so lucky and maybe felt like it's not quite there, and, you know, so then I think, maybe it would be fun to like do it yourself, you know, a bit DIY.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think I found the hiring of people and working with people that way has all been good, but then the other stuff like I've undertaken myself, being because I self-published my nonfiction books and I'm looking for traditional representation for my children's writing. So that's where the hybrid author comes in, because I just think it would be too much to be doing all the brands, to be honest, at once. Yeah, but I've change the work a lot, I've been doing the formatting. It's been such a long process, but a good one. And now I'm venturing out into marketing, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, marketing, it's a whole another beast, isn't it? Like,
it is.
Way that works. And, you know, you only get 4, maybe if you're lucky, 6 weeks of attention from the marketing teams, you know, in-house at a publisher. When you're doing it yourself, you can devote more time to it, perhaps invest in, you know, someone outside to take it on as a project as well.
Like, that's it. I don't know any traditional author as well, though, that doesn't undertake some form of marketing like themselves, you know, even through the traditional publishing. I think that's part and parcel these days, isn't it?
So. Yeah, you got to step up for sure. But there's some authors in the children's and young adult space that are doing such interesting things with hybrid and traditional, you know, mixing traditional and indie. I don't know, Ellie Marnie.
She's coming on in April.
Oh, good. Yeah, and also CJ Drews, who's known as Paper Fury.
Right.
Has this huge following, you know, and I've just been watching her with interest, because the last couple of novels she's brought out have been indie novels. And then before that, she was traditionally published and got on the CBCA list and was an honor book. And yeah, so she's doing really cool things in this space. So there's definitely people like trailblazing out there and doing cool stuff.
Sarah Epstein, she's one. I had her on last year, and she was so inspiring, and she's really gung-hoing it out on her own now as well. So,
and she's got that graphic design, you know, background, so she's able to just, you know, implement that, and also using writing skills. So.
Yeah, but yourself with the journalistic flair, you would be quite good at the formatting, at bringing the product together, I reckon, for life. So
maybe I'd be good at the editing. I'm not so sure on the formatting.
I did publish a book when I first started uni, and it was sort of, you know, it was a good experiment type of thing. I did pay someone to format it, but then when you want to change something, you have to then keep going back to them, and $100 a pop, and I have changed, you know, some of my nonfiction stuff, and you've got to keep it dated as well. It can get expensive, so that's a skill that is handy to learn.
True.
There's lots of software out there these days as well, so to help with all that. So
Do you know Stephen Herrick, who's a children's author?
Yeah, we had him
on. He's doing great things with sort of the travel space and cycling, and, you know, very niche.
I was very, it's funny because I read his book, the recent one, How to Repaint a Life, and I got in touch with him because I just absolutely loved it, and I didn't actually realize he was a hybrid author, and then which is what I just love. I love making the connections, and they're like, I'm actually a hybrid, and I was like, oh yeah. And I think it's why I've got in touch, but usually it's just for topics. But he was great. He was hilarious, but yeah, I really, really loved his just chat in general. So yeah, he seems to be doing really well. So.
Yeah, it's possible. Good. You know, when I look at these authors, I'm like, perhaps, you know.
Well, what can we expect from Pip Harry in the future? Obviously, you know, you've been co-writing and stuff like that. Do you have any future plans for playing around with more hybrid models or?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I've got some books for very younger readers, some picture books coming, I think, from 2024. Takes a while to get those picture books up and running. So that's exciting. One is with Hachette and one is with Walker Books. So very excited to see the illustrations start to come in and see how that works, you know, words and pictures. So that's coming. And I've been co-writing, and hopefully I'll have some news on that soon. But that's sort of for a younger middle grade audience, and possibly a series, fingers crossed, we'll see. And that's kind of it for me at the moment. But I'm going to try maybe writing something versy. I don't know, we'll see. this year. Oh. I'll just, once you're in, aren't you? You have to hit it and you have to keep going. And
that's
so,
it, I'll just ask you before we kind of sign off, like with writing, say, hybrid styles and stuff, do you think it matters? I guess what I'm trying to ask is, like, for it to become, say, a hybrid style, would a certain percentage of the book have to be written in a different style, do you think, for it to be called that, rather than, say, you know, it's narrative prose or whatever, and then just a couple of, you know, verse stanzas appear in it? Do you think it's got
to
be...
I do think it has to be substantially...
half and half or something.
Yeah. Kind of like a crossbreed dog, you know. I have done that before. I've put some poetry into my novel Because of You, and some other bits of writing as well, because the two girls in that story are in a writing group. And so I thought it would be fun to share their pieces of writing, and one is writing poetry. But no, that is would not be considered hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time and expertise, Pip. Please tell our listeners where they can discover all of your fabulous books, you know, in store and online.
Ooh, yes. So you can find me at all the usual spots like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at PipHaz, H-A-Z, or Pip Harry Author on Facebook. And also I have a website called pipharry.com, and my books are sold most places and online, you know, so I'm easy to find if you just type in my name.
Yeah, things will happen. Fantastic. Well, thanks so much, Pip. That was amazing.
Thanks, Joanne. I really appreciate it.
So there you have it, folks, the simply stunning Pip Harry, and you can check out Pip's award-winning books to follow this conversation further by seeing how she plays around with hybrid writing styles. Next time on the Hybrid Author Podcast, we have passionate advocate for small business collaboration on marketing, Therese Tarlington, and she's chatting about her book and the strategies within it, Swap Marketing Without Money. I wish you well in your author adventure this next week. That's it for me. Bye for now.
That's the end for now, authors. I hope you are further forward in your author adventure after listening, and I hope you'll listen next time. Remember to head on over to the Hybrid Author website at www.hybridauthor.com.au to get your free author pass. It's bye for now.